Let me invite you, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us both to Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23. And we will actually start in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 tonight. And last Wednesday night, we began our series of studies on the feasts and festivals of Israel. And we, in that study, saw that certain holidays were instituted, they were implemented, they were put into place, they were put into practice by God Himself. And we looked at last week, and while it was not necessarily a feast or a festival, it is a principle in Scripture, and that is the idea of the Sabbath and the Sabbath day. And tonight we begin to actually get into the actual feast, and we begin to get into the actual festivals. And tonight we do so by beginning to look at the Lord's Passover. Now, we sang a few songs tonight, When I See the Blood and Nothing But the Blood, and those have direct correlation to this particular feast, this particular festival, this particular holiday, and that it being, again, the Lord's Passover. And so, as we think about Passover, Passover, of course, was a holiday designed to celebrate Israel's deliverance from Egypt and to remind the people of what God had done. And, you know, holidays can be important today as well. We have many holidays. We have annual reminders of what God has done for us. And it's important to develop traditions in your family to highlight the biblical meaning of Christian holidays. And these holidays serve as reminders, both to older people and also learning experiences for younger people as well. And so the Feast of Passover was to be an annual holiday in honor of the night when the Lord, as the name suggests, when the Lord, he saw the blood and he passed over the homes of the Israelites. And the Hebrews followed God's instructions by placing the blood of a lamb on the doorposts of their homes. And that night, the firstborn son of every family that did not have the blood on the doorposts, that firstborn child was killed. That firstborn child was, in essence, a sacrifice. And so the lamb had to be killed in order to get the blood that would protect them. And, of course, if we know anything about Scripture, if we know anything about the Word of God, if we know anything about the Bible, this foreshadowed the blood of Christ. This foreshadowed the Lamb of God. This foreshadowed the one who gave his blood for the sins of all people. And inside of their homes, the Israelites, and we'll get into this, they ate a meal of roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. The unleavened bread could be made quickly because the dough did not have to rise. And because of that, the Israelites, they could be ready to leave at any time. And those bitter herbs, they were significant, and they were a representation of the bitterness of slavery which the Israelite people found themselves in. They found themselves in the bitterness of slavery. And so you're there in Leviticus chapter 23, and who would like to read for us verses 4 and 5. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Who'd like to read that for us tonight? Anybody like to? Brother Kenny, go ahead.
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kenny. And then go over, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12. And that's where we will spend the majority of our time tonight. Exodus chapter number 12. You know, as we think about Passover tonight, I want us to really focus on its meaning and what it means both for us as Christians, but also what it means for the unsaved world as well. And so look, Exodus chapter 12, and who would like to read there verses 12 and 13? Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Brother George, go ahead. All right. Thank you there, Brother George. And so now we see here that this was the Lord's Passover. This was what the Lord had commanded the Israelites to do. But for our purpose tonight, not only do we want to learn about the Passover, but we want to see tonight that Christ is our Passover. We want to see the fact that it is Christ's blood that we must apply to our souls in order to escape the judgment of hell. There is only one way tonight that a person can know for sure that they're going to heaven. There's only one way tonight that a person can know for sure that their sins are forgiven. And that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is to accept what He has done on the cross on our behalf to save our souls and to save us from the penalty of hell. And so the Lord here, and we've been studying this in Sunday school here the last week or so, but the Lord had to judge Egypt. And He was going to judge Egypt with what is known as the 10 plagues. And He would have to do this before Pharaoh would let them leave their place of bondage. So there on your paper, you see the 10 plagues that the Lord was going to unleash on Egypt. In Exodus chapter 7, you had the water turned to blood. In Exodus chapter 8, you had the plague of frogs, the plague of lice, the plague of flies. In Exodus chapter 9, you had the death of cattle, boils, the hail with fire. And then in chapter 10, you had the locusts and you had darkness. Now, just prior to that last plague, plague number 10, the death of the firstborn in Exodus chapter 12, you would have Passover established. So somewhere in between plague number 9, the plague of darkness, and the death of the firstborn, Passover is established here in Exodus chapter 12. Notice there, if you would, verse number 29. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle." And so here we see that, again, just prior to this last plague, the Lord established the feast of the Passover. And this Passover, again, it was to be a memorial feast. And it was to be celebrated at the same time every year throughout Israel's generations. You think, you know, we celebrate Christmas on what? December 25th. You know, this is kind of the same thing. And so here are some of the key words we're going to be looking at with this lesson in these scripture references. We're going to be talking much about Passover. We're going to be talking about the lamb. We're going to be talking about the word blemish. the word substitute, the word sacrifice, the word apply, the word remembrance. And then we're going to be talking about the word, and this is the one that I really want you to understand tonight, because this is what Passover is all about, and that is the word redemption. Redemption. And what redemption is, it's simple. It's simply buying back or saving from captivity by paying a ransom. Let's think about it this way, shall we? How many of you have a brother or sister growing up? Anyone have a brother or sister growing up? Okay. Did your brother or sister ever do something that was sure to get them into trouble, but then instead of letting them take the blame and they get in trouble, you took the blame instead? Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever take the blame for their sibling or maybe a cousin or whatever the case may be, right? And so what did you do? You redeemed them. You got them out of trouble. Because now instead of them enduring your parents' wrath, well, now you were enduring your parents' wrath. And this is the same principle. This is the same idea. Buying back or saving from captivity by paying a ransom. You think of it this way. Let's say you go to court one day, right? And you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, you're guilty of sin. You know, let's say, you know, to keep it light and, you know, somewhat, you know, relatable, let's say you get a parking ticket and you know you're guilty and you didn't pay the parking ticket, and what originally started out as a $5 parking ticket morphed into a $100 parking ticket, and you still didn't pay it and you didn't respond to anything. Well, now they were hauling you before the court and the judge was about to give sentence, and you knew that maybe he was going to order you to pay money, or perhaps he's going to sentence you to 30 days in jail or whatever the case may be. But the sentence was coming. You knew you're guilty. You have no defense. And then somebody comes in and they say, I know that he's guilty, but I'm here to take his place. I'm here to take his payment. I'm here to take his punishment. That is what redemption is. And that's what Passover is. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. When we stand before God, God sees us and he sees us as guilty of sin. You ever hear the phrase guilty of sin? Well, that's the idea. God sees us and he sees us as guilty as sin. But then the Lord Jesus Christ walked into the spiritual courtroom and he said, no, wait a minute. And by dying on the cross, he took our place on that cross. And when we have his blood applied to our lives, God sees the blood applied to our lives and he takes judgment, and that judgment passes over because we are redeemed. We have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And so one way, and here in the Old Testament, one way to buy back a slave was to offer an equivalent or a superior slave in exchange. And that is the way God chose to buy us back. He offered his son, someone who was superior, in exchange for us. And so those are the words tonight we're going to be looking at. And so you're there on your handout, and I want us to now look at the points. And point number one tonight, every man was to take a blank. Anyone have an idea of what that would be? Every man was to take a what? Brother Kenny?
Lamb.
That is correct. Number one tonight, every man was to take a lamb. Every man was to take a lamb. Who'd like to read there? Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, and verse number 21. Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, and verse number 21. All right, I will read it. You can follow along. Bless you, Brother Kenny. You can follow along there on the screen. Verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, Speak ye unto all the generations of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And then verse number 21, the Bible tells us, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And so the very first thing that the Israelites were instructed to do, they were to take a lamb. Now, there had to be something very special about this lamb. Number two there on your sheet, the lamb was to be without what?
Blemish.
That is correct. Number two there on your paper, the lamb was to be without blemish. In other words, it had to be without any imperfections. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5, the Bible says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And so we see that they were commanded, they had to take a lamb. Then that lamb had to be without blemish, and now this lamb had to be offered. This lamb had to be what? Number three there on your paper. The lamb was to be... who said it? Sacrificed, killed. The lamb was to be sacrificed. And to sacrifice it, you had to kill it. The lamb was to be sacrificed. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse number 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And then verse number 27, the Bible says that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered the houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And so we see here that every man had to take a lamb. That lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. And that lamb was to be sacrificed. It had to die. But now remember, we're comparing this to Christ, because this Passover is a type, it is a typology of Christ. And so these first three points here on your paper, it's all him. It's all his part. But now number four, this is where we come in. And this is where our part takes over. Because it's not just enough to have a lamb. It's not just enough to have a perfect lamb. It's just not enough to have a lamb sacrificed and killed and give up his life in order to save somebody. But number four tonight, the blood was to be what?
Applied.
That's right. So number four there on your paper, the blood was to be applied. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And then Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. And so here in Exodus chapter 12, for the Israelites to be spared from the plague of death, from this 10th and final plague, a lamb with no defects had to be killed. Its blood had to be placed on the door frame of each home. But you say, what was the significance of killing the lamb?
Well,
What was the purpose of killing the lamb? I mean, I just saw a picture, Larry Jennings, the chaplain over at the hospital. He posted a photo. He was going through some training there for the hospital, and for some reason they had a lamb, and he got a picture with the lamb. And here's this lamb, just like Larry smiling at the camera. This lamb, almost like it's smiling at the camera. I mean, who would want to kill such a cute animal, right? But what's the purpose? What's the significance? Well, here it is. In killing the lamb, the Israelites shed innocent blood. They shed innocent blood. You see, the lamb was a sacrifice, a substitute for the person who would have died in the place. You see, the Israelites, they were not innocent. They were guilty. They were sinful. They needed a sinless substitute. They needed a sinless sacrifice. And folks, tonight I want you to understand that everybody that is here in this church, at one point, you were guilty as sin. You say, but Pastor, I've never done anything really wrong. Well, according to the Bible, according to Scripture, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's a great thing about this tonight. Every one of us, we're in the same boat. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. You're not better than the person sitting next to you. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same need of a sacrifice lamb without blemish. And that lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. He would live 33 and a half years, sinless years. He would do 3.5 years of ministry. He'd go to a cross. He would suffer. He would bleed. He would die on that cross. He would be put in a grave. 3 days later, he would rise again. And if you will but put your faith and your trust in him, then when he looks at you and when God looks at you, he will see the blood applied to your heart. He will see the blood applied to your life, and you will be spared judgment. And one day, you'll be taken to heaven with him for all of eternity. And so from this point on, the Hebrew people would clearly understand that for them to be spared from death, an innocent life had to be sacrificed in their place. And so this shows us something tonight about the Israelites. Number 5, the Israelites, and that's a 3-letter word there, or a 3-word phrase. The Israel, or 2-letter phrase, or 2-letter word, or 2-word phrase, excuse me. The Israelites blank and blank. Let's look there, if you would, Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 11. Oh, I already gave it to you, but all right. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It's already accidentally revealed it, but here it is. Number 5. By doing it this way, it was the Israelites' faith demonstrated. The Israelites' faith demonstrated. You see, while eating the Passover feast, they were wearing their traveling clothes. They made the feast of unleavened bread so that the bread didn't have to take time to rise. And all of these things was a sign of the Hebrews' faith. You see, although they were not yet free, they were to prepare themselves to be free. You see, because God had said that he would lead them out of Egypt. God made them a promise that he would take them from Egypt. He would take them from slavery. And if we have learned anything from reading the Bible, we know that when God makes a promise, God keeps his promise. You know, growing up, you know, we used to do, you know, pinky promises, right? Anyone ever do pinky promises? Anyone still do pinky promises? Or am I just showing my age? Okay, but pinky promises, right? Guess what? We almost always broke the pinky promises. We almost never kept the pinky promises. But guess what? God, he makes us a pinky promise. And he never breaks those pinky promises. When he makes a promise, he keeps those promises. And so their preparation by wearing their traveling clothes, their preparation of this unleavened bread, it was an act of faith. And preparing ourselves for the fulfillment of God's promises. However unlikely they may seem. And listen, you read the Bible, you read some of God's promises, and some of them seem very unlikely. But when we believe them anyway, that demonstrates our faith in God. And I'm thankful tonight we serve a God that keeps his promises. And so we see the Israelites' faith demonstrated. And then number six and finally tonight, we see the Israelites were to do something. The Israelites were to do something. You know, last week we had a question. I think it was either Walter or Ellen who asked the question. You know, why don't we celebrate these days anymore? And last week I said, well, we're going to see that in a way we do. And so what do we think the answer to number six is?
Well, we celebrate it by community.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Supper.
Mm-hmm. And so what else is that called? Memorial, Lord's Passover. It's one of those words I gave you under the words we're going to look at. Huh?
Remembrance.
That's right. It's a remembrance. And so the Israelites were to remember the day. The Israelites were to remember the day. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So here it is, time out. So we as Christians tonight, we don't keep the Passover. Because there in verse 14, the Bible says, throughout your generations. And so this Passover, this remembrance was given to Israel and their descendants. The Lord, when in the New Testament came, the Lord came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And he gave the church, and that's the age we live in now, the church age. He gave the church two ordinances. He gave us the ordinance of baptism, and he gave us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is that remembrance of his Passover. The Lord's Supper is the remembrance of his death, his burial, his resurrection, but also his soon coming again. And so, and now last week, well, why don't we, you know, have the Sabbath anymore? Well, again, it was to the Israelites and to their generations, but the principle of rest is still there. And that's why we have Sunday, the Lord's Day, and that is to be our day of rest. And then as you work your regular 9-to-5 jobs, you know, you have to take time for your own rest. Why? Because it is a principle. And so while we don't necessarily keep the Sabbath as it was written in the Old Testament, we keep the principle of the Sabbath. And while we don't necessarily keep the Passover and remember the Passover, we keep this the principle and we keep the memorial and the remembrance of the Lord's Supper. And then skip down there a couple of verses, verse 17. The Bible says, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread," that's the Lord's Supper today, "for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." And then Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into under your houses to smite you. And then Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Now I want us to focus there on verse number 3 there of chapter 13. Because as Christians, we ought to remember the day we got saved. We ought to remember the day that, remember in the Bible, Egypt is a typology for sin. It's a typology for the world. And so we ought to remember the day that the Lord brought us out of sin. We ought to remember the day the Lord brought us out of the world. I remember it clear as day, August 1st, 1999. I was sitting on a back pew there. Pastor Hickernell gave the invitation for salvation. I raised my hand. One of the church deacons took me into the office, showed me from the Bible that I was a sinner in need of salvation. And that night, August 1st, 1999, I put my faith, my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. And from that day forward, I knew that I was going to go to heaven someday. We ought to remember the day that the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. As a 9-year-old boy, right there in South Philadelphia, I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread became an annual remembrance of how God had delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. And each year, the people would pause to remember the day when the destroyer was God's angel of death. When that angel of death passed over their homes, they were to give God thanks for saving them from death and bringing them out of a land of slavery and of sin. And this evening, this day, if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, then you too have experienced a day of deliverance. You too have experienced the day you were delivered from spiritual death. You too have experienced a day when you were delivered from slavery to sin. The Lord's Supper, communion, the Lord's table is our Passover remembrance of our new life and our freedom from sin. And so tonight, the next time struggles and trials come, simply just remember how God has delivered you in the past, and then focus on His promise of new life with Him someday. Yes, every firstborn son of the Egyptians died, but the Israelite children were spared because the blood of the Lamb had been placed on their doorposts. And so begins the story of redemption, the central theme of the Bible. You read it from Genesis to Revelation, and you will find redemption interwoven in its pages. In Old Testament times, God accepted symbolic offerings. Jesus had not yet been sacrificed, so God accepted the life of an animal in place of the life of the sinner. But then when Jesus came, He substituted His perfect life for our sinful lives, taking the penalty for sin that we so rightfully deserve. And because of that, He redeemed us from the power of sin and restored us to God. Jesus' sacrifice was the reality that animal sacrifices have been pointing towards. And so ever since Jesus' death and resurrection, guess what? There's no longer any need to sacrifice animals. So now we can let that cute little lamb live, because the Lamb of God, the sinless Son of God, came to be our perfect substitute. He was our substitutionary atonement. And tonight we must recognize that if we want to be freed from the deadly consequences of our sins, a tremendous price must be paid. But here's the good news tonight. We don't have to pay it. Tonight, the penalty for sin, the Bible tells us, is death. But we don't have to pay that. Jesus Christ, our substitute, has already redeemed us by His death on the cross. Our part is to trust Him and accept His gift of eternal life. You see, tonight our sins have been paid for and the way has been cleared to begin a relationship with God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." You see, when a lamb and an animal had to be sacrificed, that had to be on a yearly basis. But now Christ, once for all, never to be sacrificed again, He was sacrificed for you and for me. You see, the Lord's Passover, this event serves as a beautiful illustration of the redemption that Christ accomplished at Calvary. John 1:29, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Oh, the things tonight that Christ accomplished on Calvary for you and for me, truly becoming our Passover lamb. And so, yes, while the Israelites had to, on a yearly basis, sacrifice that lamb, you and I need to know tonight that our lamb has been sacrificed once for all. And once you put your faith and your trust in Him once, that's all that you ever have to do, is put it in Him once. Now, yes, we still sin, we still falter, we still fail, we still mess up and all the rest. And yes, we still have to come and ask for forgiveness of sins. But guess what? You and I get to do that. We don't have to sacrifice an animal. We don't have to have Christ die again. You don't have to come to me to ask for forgiveness of sins. You can go to God yourself on your behalf and ask for that forgiveness. And when He looks at you and He looks at me, He sees the blood applied and He passes over, and judgment passes over. And so, yes, tonight, while we don't celebrate Passover as it was written in Exodus, oh, we ought to celebrate our salvation from sin. We ought to remember that day that we got saved. We ought to remember that day that Christ took us from death unto life, from darkness unto light. Those are some things we ought to remember, because he has become our Passover. And when we think tonight of the Lord's Passover, it's his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your sins and for my sins. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.